the first thing that we have to establish in the second part, concluding from yesterday, in the synopsis of the final seven, and showing the self-justification of Israel in that fig tree that was cursed, blooming, about them going back to the temple sacrifices and the rebuilding of the temple, we must understand that Israel is the great harlot. All right? Jerusalem is the great harlot. Jerusalem specifically. Jerusalem is the great harlot. And we need to establish this from Scripture. Now, let me lay a foundation here first. We've talked about this before, but let's talk about it in a coherence with this this final seven. When we talk about the world and Israel and Jerusalem and the Antichrist and the Spirit of God, we've got to see a bigger picture here in what these things represent. For example, the heart of this world is Jerusalem. How many of you know that? If we were to take this world and look at it and divide it up that way as the heart and the body, you know, for example, in you, whoever sits upon the throne of your heart has rule over the body, the entire body, right? If Christ sits on the throne of your heart, then your members, the members of your body, are submitted unto Christ. True or not true? Let's make this very simple. If Christ sits upon the throne of your heart, then he has rule over the members of your body, and all the members of your body are in submission to him, right? And you see what's going on right now in you as you place Jesus on the throne of your heart and acknowledge him as your king. You and Jesus together, your spirit and Jesus together, are taking your body into submission to him. Right? That's what's going on right now. You're in the process of taking your body in submission to him, to submit your body's members unto death and the resurrection. Death, obedience, and the resurrection. Those three things are important. You see, that's what Jesus did with his own body, didn't he? He took that body of a man and put it into full submission to his Father, to death, obedience, and the resurrection. Right? Through faith. And that's what you're doing now. You and Jesus, the Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of Christ, are submitting your body unto death. So that means that Jesus has to sit on the throne of your heart to bring your members into submission to him and into obedience and then into death and the resurrection to be able to lay your life down. Well, the world, what's going on in the last days, in this final seven, very much pictures this process. The Antichrist is very much a picture of the sin nature, and we're going to talk about that today. Now, you know whoever sits on the throne of your heart has rule over the body to take it into submission. Now, couldn't we say very much so that physically, that temple in Jerusalem would be the throne of the one who rules over this world? Jerusalem being a picture of the heart of this world, and it always has. So many things have started in Jerusalem and filtered out to the rest of the world, haven't they? From its problems and its chaos. And this picture so much because things filter out from your heart to the rest of your body, don't they? The statement of your heart has very much to do with the statement of everything else. And this is what you've got to be to see. Now, our hearts have been like harlots, haven't they? Our hearts have been like harlots. It's supposed to be where God sits. It's supposed to be in submission to God. But our hearts have chased after other affections, haven't they? After other lovers, so to speak. after other kings, and we put ourselves in bondage to things because of this. Right? Our hearts have very much played the harlot, just like Jerusalem has very much played the harlot. Can you see that? All right. So, let's go and talk there for a minute from Revelations, and I'm going to start in Revelation 17 about the great whore, the great harlot. You need to see that this is Jerusalem we're talking about. Very much so. All right. In chapter 17, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." Now, one of the things that we've got to sort out is, if the kings of the earth have committed adulteries with her, you can see that she... Isn't it true that Jerusalem is God's woman? That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? Jerusalem, let's look at the picture for a moment. Let's not try to match it up into anything right now. Let's just look at the picture. Jerusalem is God's woman. And when she went chasing after the kings of the earth, they have committed adultery with her against her husband. She and them are both guilty. Right? Let's take all pretense aside and all guessing games aside and see the truth that Jerusalem is the great harlot. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came to me and said, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit and into a desert, and there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names, and had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and was glittering in gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things, and the filth of her adulteries. And the title was written on her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth." The mother of prostitutes. I want to ask you a question about any other religion. Jerusalem is one of the very oldest cities of the world. Back before it was known as Jerusalem, the city of God. That's what it means, city of God's peace, isn't it? Back before it was known as Jerusalem, it was known as Salem. Remember, Melchizedek was the king of Salem in time past. He was both priest and king over Salem. Right? That is always, even before Israel was birthed, that has always been the heart of this world. And you've got to understand that. Always has been. That's what it's always pictured. The reason so many people have fought and so many religions have fought over Jerusalem. I mean, look at it. The Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. Where is their fight? It's over Jerusalem. Even within the groups of Christians that are there, they're all fighting for a piece of that real estate, aren't they? And this shows that there are many things, there are many people vying for the attention of the queen, the heart. And they worship her. They've lifted her up. Jerusalem. Even as many times as she's been exposed for the whore she is, they still flock to her, don't they? It's amazing. "I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of those who bore the testimony to Jesus." Let's ask the question. Where? Always. have been the prophets destroyed and God's people persecuted. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. That's where they, you who stoned the prophets, that's where they lived. No, we're not Mormons. Isn't this true? Isn't this true? No, we're not JWs. We're just Christians. Jerusalem is where this is where it always happened, isn't it? This is where the prophets were stoned, where Jesus was put to death, where Christians were slaughtered. Right? Jerusalem is drunk with the blood of the saints. Is this true or not true? The only true religion that ever existed started in Jerusalem. Right? And all the abominations of standing against the truth have their root there too. I saw the woman who was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. I want you to listen to this now. We're going to go to Matthew 23 and see what Jesus said so you can line this up. Jerusalem is drunk with the blood of the saints. Right? What does it tell us in Matthew 23? Before Jesus starts his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 23, he is speaking to Jerusalem, the second. I want to read you just a few select passages, okay? Now, where was the Sanhedrin base? Somebody tell me. The Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jews, where were they based? The Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jews, where were they based? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And what does he say to these people? Woe to you, teachers of the law, verse 15, and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. If anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound to his oath. You blind fools. Which is greater, the gold of the temple, the goat, or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he's bound to his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Whoa. Now I want you to think about this. You see how much this has to do with Jerusalem and her harlotry? Let's go on. Jesus goes on to tell him, woe to you, teachers of the law, verse 29. And Pharisees, you hypocrites, you build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we have lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. In shedding the blood of the prophets. Listen to this. This harlot. I saw the woman who was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. If we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murder the prophets. Fill up then with the measure of the sin of your forefathers, you snakes, you brood of vipers. How will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you'll kill and crucify. Others you'll flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you can say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's go back and look now in Revelation 17. The angel carried me away in the spirit in the desert, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The title was written on her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who slay the prophets and kill those sent to you. Can you see it? Jerusalem is the whore of Babylon. When they were always in the past, when they were always being led astray to Baal worship, I want you to look at this now, this other comparison. Jezebel, the queen of Israel, Ahab's wife, she was also the high priestess of Baal, wasn't she? And Baal is Babylonian worship. And Jezebel very much pictures the great whore, the queen of Jerusalem. Get it? The queen of all of Israel is also the high priestess of Baal. She's a whore. And she makes trade by the filth of her adulteries. She pictures, she epitomizes Jerusalem that she ruled over. Do you understand that? And she was destroyed and thrown down by a destroyer that God sent, Jehu. Right? And her religion was that of Babylonians. Right? Baal worship. Babylonian worship. She is Babylon the Great. Jerusalem is Babylon the Great. There's no doubt. Now, in understanding this now, can you see whoever sits upon on the throne of Jerusalem is the one who makes pretense to rule over the world? Whoever sits on the throne of the heart rules over the body. And this is why the Antichrist will make this deal with Jerusalem. Right? In order to sit on the throne of the heart of this world. Let's go on. Alright. Verse 15. The angel said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. You know, this happened in 70 AD, didn't it? They ate her flesh, they killed her people, and burned her with fire, didn't they? Jerusalem. And it's going to happen again. Remember, Jesus said he would leave them their house desolate? And he would hold that generation there in Jerusalem responsible for all the righteous blood that was shed upon the earth. They were destroyed. Now who does it say did that? The people of the ruler who will come. They did that. They were the people. Rome was the people of the ruler who will come. And it is this ruler that Jerusalem will accept. And he'll make a deal with her to build her temple. And then he will betray her. He will take his seat in it. When she tries to start her that system that Jesus said, may no one ever eat of your fruit again, he will betray her and take his seat in the temple and proclaim himself to be God, because whoever sits on the throne. And this is exactly, isn't your own heart betrayed by your sin nature when your heart goes chasing after other things and other affections than God? Isn't your heart betrayed by your sin nature, and you're taken in bondage to serve his desires? Now let's talk about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is pictured very much in the sin nature. Remember how it tells us that the Antichrist, his deadly wound will be healed. Well, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you proclaimed the Antichrist in you to be dead, didn't you? The sin nature, the one who serves himself. In order for you to belong to Christ, Adam has to be dead in the grave. That's by faith you consider him dead, so that by that same faith you can be alive unto Christ. And you yield your heart, Jerusalem, unto God. So that Jesus sits upon the throne of your heart. But what happens if you reject him? What happens if you reject Jesus? You effectively resurrect Adam, don't you? Isn't that true? If you reject Jesus, if you fall away from Jesus, and you reject him as being your king, the one that you claim you belong to in faith, what do? You resurrect that sin nature, don't you? To sit on the throne of your heart and proclaim himself to be your God, and he will take you in bondage to do his desires. And your latter end is worse than your first. Can you see it? And it tells us that the sin nature, listen to this, about this beast, this calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits, and also seven kings, five have fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come, but when he does come, he must remain a little while. The beast once was, now is not, as in an eighth king, and he belongs to the seven, and is going to his destruction. And he will ascend from the bottomless pit. Huh. He will ascend from the bottomless pit. The beast you saw once was, verse 8, now is not, and yet will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. Well, let me ask you, isn't that where you assigned Adam? When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, isn't that where you assigned Adam? To the pit, to the abyss. You said, Adam is dead and now Christ lives in me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm dead. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But what happens after saying that if you reject Christ? As so many have, and so many will. Then you effectively resurrect that man from the pit, don't you? He once was, now is not, and yet will come. And the Antichrist is the epitome of this. And what will he do? Your sin nature takes your whole body in bondage to serve his desires, doesn't he? That's what he does. He takes your whole body into bondage to serve his desires. Right? He betrays your very heart. Just like the Antichrist will betray Jerusalem and take the whole world in bondage to please his desires. And whoever sits upon the throne of the heart, remember, this is what it means by calling Jerusalem the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. Listen. The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages over the world. The heart rules over the world. The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute and bring her to ruin and leave her naked, and they'll eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to accomplish the purpose by agreeing to it, to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. Now, who's that great city? All we have to do is go over here to Revelation 11. When the two witnesses have finished their testimony, verse 7, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them, overpower them, and kill them. You know, that's what happens in your heart when you reject Jesus, isn't it? The law and the prophets are overcome in you. All that was there to testify to Christ is put to death in you when you reject Christ. When you chase after another lover. When you accept the one who comes in his own name. Right? Those two witnesses are silenced in you. You understand? And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which figuratively is called Sodom and Egypt. Figuratively. The great city! You see it? Which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. And for 3.5 days, men from every people and tribe and language and nation, many waters, right, will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. And the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts, because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. You know what? Let me ask you, when you wanted to do wrong, I want you to see the nature of this. When you wanted to do wrong, didn't these two witnesses torture you? And your conscience, when you wanted to do wrong, you weren't free. Many people hate the truth. Why? Because it puts them in guilt. They're not free to go out and rebel like they want to. And live in sin like they want to. They hate the truth. Do you see it? Don't the people of sin look at truth as a bondage? And a torture? How many times have you stayed up being tortured in your mind over something you couldn't have because you needed to do the right thing? And these two witnesses put you in that torment for your good. How many times have you seen that in your own life? That internal dialogue that's going on where you want something so bad. But those witnesses of the law and the prophets are speaking to you by the power of the Spirit, aren't they? And it is total anguish and torment for that old man, isn't it? That he can't have what he wants. So when people are finally able to throw off without any conscience, it's freedom to them, isn't it? And the killing of these two and lying in the streets of Jerusalem, it's like trotting on the truth in your heart, isn't it? These two guys' dead bodies lying in the streets is like you trotting on the truth in your heart. Can y'all begin to see this picture come together? I didn't invent this. Now you see much what must happen. Whoever sits on the throne of Jerusalem pictures very much the one who sits on the throne of the heart. And whoever sits on the throne of your heart rules over your whole body. Just like whoever sits here on the throne of the great city will rule over the earth. And now you see why that temple will be cleansed. Because this is where Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years. From that throne. Over the flesh of this world to bring it in submission with his rod of iron. After Antichrist has been destroyed. And that's your hope. That Antichrist is destroyed in you and overcome by the brightness of Christ's coming. That it'll be Jesus that sits upon the throne of your heart and rules over you forever. That will take your body into submission and submit it unto God, death, obedience, and the resurrection. Amen? Praise God. That's a good place to stop.